When was the last time you felt a subtle nudge to do something? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Matilde Frey, Professor of Biblical Studies in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. I am your host and study guide author, and this quarter we are going to study themes in the Gospel of John. My conversation partners for this series are Alex Bryan, president at Walla Walla University, and Andreas Pekai, currently lead pastor at the University Church at Walla Walla University. I'm honored to have you both here with me. When was the last time you felt a subtle nudge to do something?
Yeah, I'll tackle that, Alex. A few weeks ago, I felt a subtle nudge to reconnect with someone I hadn't spoken to for a long time. And the relationship was a little strained. And you know, sometimes if you have a strained relationship, you know, it's a small wound and you don't want to, you know, re-aggravate it. So I was a little resistant. And I remember reading something in morning devotion and feeling, you know what, you need to send this person a message. So I sent them a message. They're not in the country, in case anyone here is thinking, is it me? No, they are in another country. And I had to use WhatsApp. That's when you know it's international. And sent them a message. And we had a really good conversation and started to rebuild a bridge. So I'm glad I listened to that subtle nudge to reconnect with that person.
Do you consider something like that like a sign?
Yeah, that's a good question. I had a friend, and I'm answering your question here. Her name was JJ. We went to school together in Keele University in England, and she was from London, and she had a really vibrant Pentecostal faith. And for her, every moment of her life could constitute a signal, a sign, and communication from heaven. So, for example, if somebody was walking over and said, hey, JJ, let me buy your lunch for you, she would see that as a sign of God's prosperity and favor in her life, and that she was going to have a lot of riches coming up. And that was owed to her. So everything was a sign. Mm-hmm. I was more resistant to see every single thing as a sign in my life. There have been some moments like, you know, my wife, there's a story which I won't tell of how we ended up getting engaged, or when I decided I don't want to be a lawyer. Actually, I feel like I ought to be a pastor, where I felt a sign and a nudge that to me was clear. But I could probably count it on two hands when I felt a clear nudge or sign that I interpreted as not just wishful thinking, but maybe some kind of communication from heaven.
Mm-hmm. So we go into the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of John has lots of signs, isn't it? What do you make of those things that we that usually in other Gospels are called miracles? And now in this book, in the biblical stories about Jesus, they become signs. What's the difference?
Well, the actions in the stories themselves are the same thing, if you will. They are actions on the part of Jesus that signal something. Mm-hmm. So maybe there I gave it away with the word signal. What John is wishing to point out is that these actions of Jesus are God saying something to us.
Yes.
Now, subtle? Are these subtle reminders, or are they kind of in your face? I suppose when the water is turned to wine, that doesn't feel so subtle to me, right? Mm-hmm. When Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, again, not in the category of subtle. I do think that probably we have to be careful not to just assume that God's messages are of the fantastical or dramatic or rare category.
Yes.
Because I think we may miss much there. I was thinking when you asked Andreas, you know, just a moment ago, the question about subtle signs. Mm-hmm. The first person I thought of is my wife, who gives me all kinds of subtle signs. And, you know, the look, the nudge.
Yes.
That knowing, you know.
We're going to have a conversation later.
Yes. And I think, and what struck me about that is that when you're close to someone, the closer you get, you see even more and more subtleties, right?
Mm.
And I think that what John is up to here is getting us in a frame of mind. And sometimes you have to use the dramatic to get someone's attention, right? You use a shocking story, Andres, at the beginning of a sermon, or a shocking tale at the beginning of a lecture. I think that this is trying to build a habit in the reader to start paying attention. But I'm not sure it's to just stay at the level of the dramatic. It's to initially get our attention with this dramatic so that we slowly learn to grow into appreciating the subtle. For as we grow close to someone, we see the subtle nudges.
Oh, so I have to piggyback off something you said. You said it's not the dramatic. And as I was looking at the seven signs John has, what I was thinking is it's not about the display, but it's about the direction. Because N.T. Wright talks about these signs, British theologian and former archbishop, that they are signposts. They are signposts telling us where we're going. Or I was also thinking maybe they're Lego pieces in the sense that when you put them all together, they give you a greater representation and picture of who Jesus is. So what you said about it's not just for the sake of being, did you say dramatic? What did you say?
Yeah, dramatic or flamboyant or one-offs.
Correct. Yeah. It's not that. Jesus is trying to do something significant. Although I do want to say this, because I was realizing all of us have a lens that we read the Bible in, and I've spoken to people in different parts of the world who live lives where it seems the dramatic or the miraculous signs happen more than it does in my world here in Walla Walla, Washington, or when I lived in Seattle, or when I was in England. And I've often wondered if sometimes I would interpret the signs of Jesus and, you know, want to go to the Anne Lamont, the quiet, subtle signs of Jesus or of the divine, as opposed to thinking about people in parts of the world where there is so much like Ephesians 6 stuff happening that they have seen miraculous raisings from the dead. And they have seen people who were ill cured in ways that I take by faith because I know them and I know they wouldn't be someone who lies. But for me, it's completely and utterly foreign. And so I wonder about that. You know, when I would often make the turn to say, well, I mean, we don't need these big signs, but it seems in other places in the world, you do. Because it's almost this public confrontation between the old gods that you've left and the new God that you're coming to. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So is the reality that God acts more supernaturally in other places in the world, or we're paying attention more poorly in our part of the world? For example, the three of us all live in the Walla Walla Valley, famous for its sunrises and sunsets. So I want to ask you a question. Is the sunrise natural or supernatural?
What a question.
My point being that you can just not pay attention to it because it happens 365 times a year. It's just like breakfast in the morning. Or you can pay attention to it and say, it's a sign. It's a supernatural act. So I guess my argument would be that when we distinguish between the supernatural and the natural, we make a distinction that's not true to God. For God, everything is natural. Stick with me on this, audience, listeners. For God, everything is not supernatural. It's natural because nothing can be supernatural to God.
Yes.
Because that's his. That's God's normal activity. So,
I love the sunsets in Walla Walla. Those are supernatural.
They are. And you and your husband post some of those, I've noticed. Or husband posts them online sometimes.
Yes, I did. Well, in the Gospel of John, we have an interesting way of dealing with these signs. Because John will, for example, tell us that the signs are telling us that Jesus has come from the Father. So God is the origin. And then these signs are supposed to lead the people to believe in Jesus. On the other hand, you have then these places in the Gospel of John where he says, why do you need signs? Shouldn't you believe without those signs? So there is this this kind of like almost a contradiction in the Gospel of John. And this one commentary on the Gospel of John by Professor Paul Anderson, he writes about the riddles of the fourth gospel. And so the signs are sometimes diminished or in other places embellished. That's how he calls them. What do we make of that? What do you think?
I mean, I think there's a sense in which Jesus is contextual each time he performs a sign or he confronts someone and challenges them to believe without a sign. And so as I think about this riddle that Dr. Anderson writes about, I think Jesus basically sometimes will see someone and say, you need to move beyond the surface and I need to challenge what you're doing. And you need to essentially be put on a treasure hunt in which the searching helps to cultivate a faith that maybe is latent and needs to be encouraged. And then for other people, Jesus will see them and say, you know what, you've got a mustard seed and that's enough. So I'm going to give you a sign that will water the seed that you have into faith. I think it really depends on the individual and the context.
I love that. I think that that's exactly right. And I think about even how we, you know, John is the great gospel of love. It has the most affective or emotional language. It's a very relationally connective book between God and us. And I think when you think about loving your family members, there's moments where you need to throw a pretty big splash. An anniversary, a yes. birthday, a Christmas. If you do that little, you're not loving well. But then there's a lot of other moments that if your children, for example, are demanding that you buy big presents and you demonstrate your love, that's also not very healthy. And in those moments, you need to appreciate the more subtle forms of love that may be common generosity or courtesy or faithfulness and, or whatever it might be. So I love Andreas's sort of spectrum on that. But I think another way to look at it as well is just there are moments for – well, it's contextualization, right?
Yes.
But there are moments for a big splash, and then there's moments when you shouldn't be addicted to the big trumpet blaring parade and confetti.
Now, all these signs are supposed to lead to something, because the Gospel of John is written so that they may believe in the end,
yes.
right? So we will come back to this verse again and again over the course of these weeks as we study the book. But much more could have been written, he tells us. Many more signs could have been given, and they are supposed to lead us to believe. So thank you so much for this wonderful lesson this week. I am thanking President Alex Bryan at Walla Walla University and Pastor Andreas Bekai of the University Church. I also say thank you to our program engineer, Kristin Bayerly, and to all of you who listen in to us. For The Good Word, I'm Matilda Fry.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.